The opinions expressed by the 1.5 doctors on this podcast are for entertainment purposes only. They are not meant to treat or diagnose. If you have a serious condition, seek medical attention immediately.
No. There's been a mistake, you see.
Excuse me. What Dr. Lee is trying to say is that we need to sedate the patient or he could go into cardiac arrest.
All right, I'll get the anesthesiologist.
Hang on a second, nurse. What we should probably use is marijuana. That'll sufficiently sedate the patient for surgery.
Marijuana? But why?
We don't have time for questions. We need marijuana now, as much of it as possible. Like a big bag of it.
But doctor, we don't have marijuana in this hospital. Shit.
Dr. Stephen Ogden. Dr. BJ Perry.
Clinical Muscle starts.
Great Scott.
This is Clinical Muscle on Advices Radio Network. I'm your host, Dr. BJ Puri. Along with me, as always, is the star of this production, the good Dr. Stephen Ogden. Doc, how you doing?
Hey, what's up, man?
Man, we have a fucking hell of a time trying to figure out when the next show is going to be. I'm glad we committed to this day. Jesus Christ. Trying to get things in order has been a bit of a hassle, you know what?
I know. So people probably think we're like MIA, or we dropped the, we're stopping the show, or Scott fired us.
Right, something. We've been fired from Advices Radio Network.
But right. No, it's just been weird. We were supposed to record Sunday, and you had a little bit of a emergency, and then so we rescheduled for this morning, and I almost was going to have to bail out because I had some bad news last night. I lost a family member.
Mm-hmm. Sorry to hear that, Doc.
Yeah, late last night. So I'm going on 4 hours sleep here. It was up till about 2:30 because we went up to the hospital. My wife's grandfather passed away last night. You know, kind of suddenly, but not suddenly. I mean, he was a 90-year-old guy, but he was a super healthy 90-year-old. In fact, he was up here visiting from Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just coming to visit the family, and his daughter. So he stays with his daughter, and I don't know. I just got sick yesterday, and all of a sudden, you know, when you're 90 years old, I guess it's at any time. Sort of on borrowed time, and my mother-in-law called Chrissy S. and said, Papa wasn't feeling good. We're going to take him to the urgent care. So they did that, and they just said he was, you know, had a cold or whatever, put him on some antibiotics or whatever, and he went home, and throughout the day, he just kind of felt worse, and my father-in-law sort of didn't like the way he was looking, took him over to the hospital, and we knew – Chrissy's mom said he was in there getting a breathing treatment, and they were waiting for a room to get admitted, you know, and that's kind of the par for the course for him. In 90, he'll get a cold, and when he gets a cold, it goes to his chest, and he'd go in for a couple days, get some antibiotics, some breathing treatments, come home and be fine. And I mean, he's a guy who they just bought a new car like 3 days ago up here, so they have a car to drive around up here. And then, you know, we're driving home about 10:30, and all of a sudden, you know, my mother-in-law called us and was like, Pop just passed away. And we're like, what? You know, so it was kind of a shock. That's why I texted him. Like,
yeah.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this. And then we went up to the hospital because everybody was freaking out. And then we were up to about 2:30. And then my wife was like, look, you know, and she's right. She's like, dude, you don't fucking sleep much anyway. So you might as well just get up and knock this damn show out. And I'm like, That's what good old Papa would want us to do. So
that's right. Life goes on, and he knows it, man. You know,
he's a great man. His name was Robert Marshall. Rest in peace. I love you, man.
Yeah,
he treated me like his own grandkid. You know.
Oh man. Well, but rest in peace, man. He lived a good life, and he'd want you to do this show. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So when I texted you first, I was like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this. It's going to be a long night. And then I was going to text you like, too, and be like, you know what, fuck it, I'll be all right, we'll get through this, and because the Clinical Muscle must go on.
Yeah, the show's gotta go on.
But I don't even feel that bad. You're doing a Scott McNally today.
Oh, it's Thursday. I'm doing a daily double over here. I'm doing I don't know, this show will probably come out probably sometime next week, so Bodybuilding Nerds Radio will have already come out, and I'll be recording that later on today with Scott McNally. Doc, you're welcome to join us if you want. It's up to you.
Yeah, you know what? I was actually thinking about that. I got to see how the day goes. I don't have much to do, so I might jump on, but
You let me know, because it's good to surround yourself with friends in these times. You know what I mean? So
absolutely.
You might be doing a daily double today too.
If I can get everything in, what time do you think you guys are going to hit that? Usually noonish, right?
Roughly noonish, yeah.
Yeah. I got to try to get my training in and everything.
Yeah, me too.
And see what she wants to do. I don't know if she's going to want to go over her mom's house. Yep. You know, the rough part was for that, you know, is I felt so bad for her grandmother. Listen, she's 92. These people have blessed genetics.
They
just flew here up from Tampa. They're like walking around the mall and shit. I mean, this isn't your frail 90-year-old people. These are like super with it. On the go, active people are like, they've been married for 67 years.
Wow, man. Wow.
So, you know, watching her at his bedside, just staring at him was really, her life has changed. I mean, she's great. She's active but she can't drive by herself. She can't live by herself. Oh, so now man. Already last night, she can't go home. She can't. She's got to change her home. She got to move back here. She can't live by herself.
Oh, man, that's heartbreaking. Poor thing.
Yeah, man, it's that was the toughest part for me. You're like 67 years. That's all you know.
Oh my gosh! But
then you look at the other side. 67 years. You've been blessed. Like you're 92 years old.
That's true. That's very true. Yeah.
Dude, I'm looking at the room and I'm trying to be a positive guy. I'm like, listen, I've been in so many of these rooms being a doctor where there's like a 30-year-old laying there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right.
50-year-old, 20-year-old, teenagers, babies.
Jeez.
I mean, when you're 90 and you make it that far and you know, you just bought a car and you're able to move around and you're and you know what? Went away peacefully. You know, he wasn't in any pain or anything.
That's amazing. He deserves a round of applause is what he deserves. Super, you know what
and
I mean?
Listen, he's one of the most and not only that, they're deaf.
No shit. When did
they've been deaf their whole life. They're both deaf. Oh. Chrissy's grandparents, a lot of her family members are deaf.
That's amazing.
At our wedding, we had half a deaf side and half a hearing side.
Oh,
we had
shit. Oh, my God.
Yeah, we had an interpreter and everything. So you're talking about not only someone who lived 90 years old, but lived with a challenge. I mean, you can't hear for 90 years.
That's
you know?
Amazing, man. That's incredible.
Yeah, super good people. And it just makes, you know, I'm looking around the room and everybody's crying and, you know, because that's their grandma. Roberta doesn't want to hear he's 90 years old and my wife doesn't want to hear that, but I'm trying to be the positive one. Like, you guys are going to be standing at my bedside when I'm dead. It's going to be way younger than 90. I can almost.
Me too.
No, for sure. Yeah. Don't you think? I mean.
There's no way I'm making it. Dude, I'm barely 40 now. I can't imagine another fucking 50 years. Are you kidding? No way. I'm good.
You know, funny thing is, Pop-Up talked about it recently. He would say, man, this body is old. It's like I can't even – it's to the point where you get where he's like, how much longer can I live? So you know what? He's not in any pain. He's in peace, and he lived a great life, and everybody loved him. So it's easy. It's not easy, but it's better when you think of it that way. 90, dude. When I hear that number – trust me, everyone who's listening to the show, you're probably not going to live to 90.
Yeah, and if you do, chances are you're not going to be mall walking and buying new cars and shit.
Definitely, you're not going to be flying and have a house in Tampa.
Yeah.
And you know, walking to go to dinner next door at the Outback Steakhouse where they went all the time. So they moved.
Awesome.
They moved in a little 55 and older community down there, which was walking distance to like restaurants and Olive Garden, like they would walk to go out to dinner still and stuff like that. So, I mean, they're really blessed people, and on top of that, couldn't hear a thing, you know.
Yeah, God bless them, man. Bless them.
Yeah. So it puts things into perspective.
Yeah, like for sure it does. Yeah,
it makes you go. You're crying. You're upset, but then you're like, hold on, wait. My man seen the number of days none of us in this room will probably ever see.
No kidding. And then when you think of in terms of like a bodybuilder's life, man, we are, you know, in our industry, people fucking are falling off like left and right, man. And they're barely making 40 years old, you know?
Yeah. And then we all work out, air quotes, for health purposes.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Most of it's not for health purposes. It's for research purposes only.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And vanity, mostly vanity.
Yeah. And, you know, and the funny thing is Pop-Up didn't work out at all ever.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. So anyway, we're here. We're good. What else is going on? Anything positive? I got some positive stuff.
Drop some positive stuff on me.
Well, the Eagles have their first preseason game. Can you fucking believe that?
No, I cannot. I'm shocked that we're even talking about football. It's August 9th today, right?
Yeah, but it's here already.
It's unbelievable.
I'm still on the Super Bowl high. Like, yeah. I still wear my Super Bowl hat every day. Like, I didn't get a, I feel like I didn't get a chance to be a Super Bowl champ that long enough.
No shit. Like, you yeah, that's true. That's real true. You
don't even, you get to, February, August.
You got to ride it out for about 5 months.
Right. And then the other cool thing is, so, you know, and then, yeah, football. So Stevie's been in football practice 3 days a week in full pads since fucking July 3rd already. And they got their first pre-scrimmage game this weekend, which is awesome.
I can't believe all that's starting already, man. It's just this
fucking
year.
Flies by.
No kidding. I can't believe it, man. It's like the Super Bowl literally just happened. Literally, you know?
I still feel like I ran outside and screamed my head off last night. came up so quick. It dawned on me, like, just a couple days ago, I looked at the schedule and I was like, holy fuck, the Eagles got a preseason game Thursday, like, on TV. That's insane.
That's insane. Yeah, definitely. Season starts, mid-September?
Yeah. I think early mid-September. Is I don't it? Know the date of the first game. It's something like that, though. Yeah. Well, they have four preseason games, so you're probably like 4 weeks from now, or nice. 5 weeks from now. But yeah, like, football season starting tonight, and I'm fucking fat already, so what am I going to do?
I'm supposed to
start getting fat in football season. Now I'm going to have to fucking go into football season and probably start a real diet again soon.
You're ahead of the curve. That's all. You're just ahead of the curve.
Should I just maybe ride it out till boxing season?
That's it, man. Look, if you're already heavy, just get a little heavier. Who cares? You know what I mean? Boxing day is right around the corner, man. We got to start both of our diets here pretty soon.
Yeah, but, oh, man, it's like. I surprisingly don't feel like I look as bad as I should, but I stopped. I was like, I'm not going to weigh myself. And then the other night I weighed myself when I sent you guys that picture.
Yeah, it's not that bad. Come on. It's
221.
That's, you know.
I think that was the number.
Yeah.
But good news is when I woke up in the morning, it was 216, but that's still like, I was 192 in like February.
Yeah. Yeah. I think. Well, you know, it's fine.
My waist size hasn't changed. I'm trying to convince myself I'm squeezed into my skinny jeans, though. I feel fucking strong, though. That's the only positive of that.
Well, look, you're strong. All your smaller clothes still all fit. So there's got to be some recompositioning going on too. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't feel too bad, but it was funny, man. I was like, I haven't weighed myself in a while. Let me check this out. I don't think I gained that. Holy shit. It's like it just jumped up on me.
Yeah,
you're above the 200 mark again.
Yes, yeah. Honestly, I thought I was going to be up where you were at. I haven't weighed myself in forever, especially since I started this my new HGH protocol or whatever.
What's that? Is that the 10 units twice a week or three times? What is that?
So I do 10 units Monday, 4 to 5 units on Wednesday, and then another 10 units on Friday. So that's it. That's all my protocol.
If you do a weekly dose, that's 25 units a week.
Yep, 25 units a week, 24 to 25 units
and
a week.
And you're handling that, like, because usually, like, one unit a day sends you into a land of puff.
It's an amazing thing, man. It's like, if I use 1 to 2 IU daily, the side effects, they compound and they just get terrible, you know, because I don't get a break, you know what I mean?
Right.
But even with this, it's like I'm doing like these boom doses, these big giant doses, but it's like a huge pulse, right? And then and then it comes right back down. So it's like the side effects are they're there. Obviously the water retention is there. I've got, you know, numbness and stuff in my hands and sometimes in my legs and feet. But it's all tolerable. Like, if I were to do this daily, there's no fucking way. You know, 4 or 5 days in, forget about it.
Not to mention your sugars and stuff would probably be off the hook.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that too. But and I mentioned this on Bodybuilding Nerds Radio. It's like, this growth hormone kills my appetite, which is kind of a relief for me, man, because, you know, it's nice to not have to eat every 2-3 hours, you know? And, like, I'm not trying to gain muscle or anything, you know what I mean? I don't give a fuck, actually. You know, I just want to stay lean.
Right.
And look healthy and feel healthy, really, you know? But this growth hormone's taking things to a whole fucking new level. I'm not even eating anything, you know? So I weighed myself this morning. I've been deathly scared to weigh myself. I'm looking at myself in the mirror. I'm like, my God, I got to be 220, 230 or something. But I weighed myself in 206. That's not terrible, you know?
No, that's crazy. That's not bad at all.
No, it's not bad. That's, I mean, considering what historically how HGH has just put tons and tons of water on me, This is manageable.
I need to work back to 206. That's the thing. I need to now work back to 206.
Well, shit, you already dropped 4 pounds apparently overnight, right?
Oh, yeah. It's just, you know how that is.
Oh, I know.
My nighttime weight, I hold water like a – I can weigh my – sometimes my weight will swing 8 pounds.
Yeah,
eight,
oh, nine, me too, man.
Nine pounds overnight. Yeah. I wake up and go, oh, whew, it's not that horrible.
We're like camels. We just just retain water. We could cross the desert, no problem, I think.
I always try to blame it on like, well, I did do legs yesterday, so that 10 pounds is maybe just water in my legs, and then I just don't weigh myself again, and because then I convince myself that I'm not fat. But
yeah. That's another thing. You track your workouts, like on like your heavier days, you know, you end up retaining more water, and the next morning you shed more water. It's a weird thing with water balance and training days, you know.
Yeah, no doubt. You can tell a difference when you go super heavy or super sore. Or you're definitely going to hold more water. At least I do. I mean, I can, my weight goes up definitely 100%.
Yo, for sure. Yeah. But this, man, this HGH protocol is kicking my butt, and I like it. I like it a lot. Like I said, I'm not hardly eating it. I eat once a day. Can you believe that?
I know. I heard that. I can't believe that. Aren't you fucking starving? Like, you know me.
I'm not, man. And that's the weird thing. Like, I've gone fucking 39 years of my life just starving my ass off. Like, always hungry. Always, you know? And, you know, I'll eat 2 hours later, starving again, need food.
Yeah,
need food.
That's me.
That's it. That's been my life. But this has been a nice reprieve. I wake up, I'm a little hungry. Maybe it's just my tolerance is really good. You know, I'm used to like going without food, you know?
Yeah.
So like being hungry is not a big deal. So I'm definitely a little hungry, you know, throughout the day when I'm not eating anything. And when I am, I'll force myself to, you know, drink a shake or take some livers and aminos from Beverly International and just to get some protein in or something. But
right.
I'll hold off my last meal of the day till like supper time, like sometime post training. And that's it, man. I go to bed. Like,
and you're not shrinking. You're not going catabolic.
No, I'm holding on to muscle. Like, I mean, in the dieting phase, my body holds on to muscle like, you know, like it's gold. You know, it's not letting go. So I'm you know gifted in that sort, but it's like, man,
right,
one meal a day. I don't even know that I'm cracking 600-700 calories a day.
Oh my God, I'd be dead. I'd be starving, or maybe I wouldn't. Maybe if I just like to eat and I'm a fat guy. Oh, I am a fat guy by nature. We know that. Yeah, but yeah, you mentioned the word shake.
Yeah.
And I gotta tell you, that UMP is off the
hell
hook.
Yeah.
I have milked that. Actually,
dude, like, you need to place an order and get some Angel Food Cake. I'm telling you right now.
I've been milking that, and because it is that it's fucking good, bro. That is a good protein.
Isn't it? That's the isn't it,
doubt about
that,
it,
isn't that hands down the best tasting protein powder you've ever had?
For vanilla, it's vanilla, but it's like. Unbelievable. It makes the best tasting sludge I've ever
I know it. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, that's good stuff, man. And that's weird. Why? How come every other protein doesn't taste that good? Like, it's fucking delicious.
They
like,
got – they've got
– funny is I never even heard of that until you told me about it like a couple years ago. But I never heard of it, and I never tried it. But shit is fucking good. I'm like, why did I wait that long to try that?
They started as a really underground company, man. They never did anything with marketing or anything. I mean, they put out their own news pamphlets, and that was like the extent of their marketing. So they're like well before like when DPS Nutrition came out and all these, you know, Netrition and all these like supplement like warehouses essentially online.
Yeah.
When they all came out and they all got popular, I mean, Beverly was behind the curve. Like they were doing like their own online stuff. They didn't, you know, branch out to all like the big warehouses or anything, where distribution centers or anything. So nobody ever heard of them. You know, you had to have word of mouth or known somebody that used the product or something. And I became a wholesaler in 2000. So this is 18 years ago. You know, so I've been using this shit for fucking ever. But yeah, just like I would say within the last 5 to 10, maybe 10 years or so, they got into like all the main distributions. Shit, you can go on Amazon now and get Beverly International.
Oh, yeah, yeah, easy. I mean, that's what it's easy. I seen it in Vitamin Shop like a while ago.
Yeah, right.
They only had, excuse me, they only had like 2 tubs. Like they were like, well, let's just buy this and see what happens. I mean, that's what I think.
Just a tester. Just a tester.
And then I didn't see it again. But delicious though. And then how's your training been going? Because I've been seeing some pictures in a video you throwing up some weights, like, let me try this.
That was the heaviest dumbbells they had. So I was like,
you've been doing some gymming. You've been going around the gyms.
I've been being social. You know,
you even had the wifey in there. Like, you guys were looking good on the walker. It was a walker.
It was not a treadmill. It was a supercharged old man walker. Shelby posted that. I stole that from Shelby. Shelby wrote on that post. He goes, "It looks like a space age walker." I was like,
"Yeah, you know what's funny, it does look like a walker." When I saw him post that, I actually went back, looked at the picture, was like, fuck, it looks like she's holding a walker and you're like helping her.
We're on our way, man. You know, that's the next stage. We're going to be posing with walkers and canes and Metamucil.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you already take that. Man, I saw you, when you even got a workout with Scott and he throwing up some dumbbells, making it look easy. I was like, oh boy, I gotta pick it up here.
I think those 125s were hollow, to be honest with you. But
let's talk about that for fun. That's funny you should bring that up.
No.
That is funny you should bring that up, because I've often wondered about that. Not hollow, but so I'll give you a good example.
Like fake weights?
I don't know about fake weights, but some places you go, you're like, this plate doesn't feel right. I'll give you a great example. And it's kind of a good thing and kind of a bad thing and kind of a whatever. But you know, we've been going to Retro Fitness. I said that's one of our gyms we go to around here.
Right.
Because they got more stuff than anything close to my house, really. I know it's not a hardcore gym and it's cushy, but they just built this fucking huge LA Fitness that we've never had around here before.
Yeah. Okay.
Right across the street from that place. So that place lost 200 members in like 3 days. But anyway, I went to the LA Fitness, and it's a fucking awesome place. It's a beautiful facility, and they got a basketball court and a pool, and my son was loving that. But anyway, I went in, and I went to do some incline benching, and I picked up the 45-pound plate, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, this fucking – I warmed up, and I'm like, this feels – these fucking weights are light. And someone else recently said that to me. So, you know, 45 pounds is 45 pounds. But I've always felt like steel plates are way heavier.
I felt like that too.
I'm not sure if that's in my head or not. You go to these gyms sometimes and you'll be like, you'll pick up a plate and you'll be like, holy fuck, this feels heavy. And then you go to another gym and same with the dumbbells. You'll pick up a 100-pound pair of dumbbells in some gyms and you're like, Jesus Christ, this feels heavy.
Yeah.
You know, is it a psychologic thing, or do you think there's something to that, like rubber?
I don't know, man. I think it's the feel. Like, I went to Armbrust Gym over there in Colorado, and they had like all the old school, like the skinny plates. You know what I'm talking about? Like the skinny 45-pound plates.
Yes. Yeah. That's what my brother always had when I was growing up. Yeah.
And I think that just because they're, I mean, we're used to those. We grew up with those. Right. So those, we have a feel for those, like a certain smell to those weights and everything.
Rust on them and stuff.
Yeah. And then when you pick them up, there's a certain heft to it, because like they're skinny and you got to grip them just right. So I don't know if it's that they feel heavier because they're all iron, you know, because all these new ones, they're huge and they're rubber, you know, and so like the whole surface area is different. So when you go to pick it up, it's almost easy to pick it up. You know what I mean?
Maybe that's it. Maybe the 45 pounds, because of the dimensions, the width,
distribution.
Maybe it's distributed different on different kinds of weights. Because I definitely noticed that. I'm like, I've done that many times. Like, this feels different than what I felt here or what I felt here.
It's especially with dumbbells, it's more condensed. You know, it's like if you pick up like a 125-pound dumbbell that's like all steel, all iron, you know, it just feels more dense, because it's not like the surface area is even way less. Like a 125-pound rubber dumbbell is huge. Like, it's huge, right? Enormous.
Exactly. That's probably a good point. You're right.
Yeah. So it just feels like, I don't know, the surface area is all like way bigger, so it just distributes easier in your hands and everything, you know.
Changes angles a little bit, changes leverages probably some, and all that kind of stuff.
Makes sense.
I always felt like some of these newer places, like the Planet Fitnesses, the LA Fitnesses, the Retro Fitnesses, the, you know, these kind of newer places, I always wondered about that, because I felt like, well, they maybe they don't really – maybe they make these weights a little lighter so people in here, like, think they're stronger than they are.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, I wouldn't put that past a place like Planet Fitness.
You know? I no doubt think about that. Like, I'm like, this does not feel – I feel like I could throw this compared to what I felt 2 days ago, you know.
That's funny.
But you know what? You're probably on to something. It's probably a balance, a leverage,
kind
of thing.
So. Yeah, that's what I would think. But
because even the if you fit that, I'll pick up a 45-pound bumper plate. It feels nothing like a.
Yeah, no kid. Like the our gym over here, South Lyon Powerhouse. They've got like a powerlifting area, like a not even a powerlifting. Yeah. It's like an Olympic lifting area, you know,
or a CrossFit area.
Yeah, pretty much. That's essentially what it is, anyways.
But, yeah, exactly.
But that's what they use it for. They've got like the huge 45-pound green bumper plates, and they like the edges of that thing are like 5 inches long. You know, it's like
exactly.
It does, and it doesn't feel that heavy. But I guess it's 45.
That's what I'm saying. So you know, you put that on, and you're like, okay, is this really 45 pounds? Because when I just lifted it up to put it on, it don't feel like that.
Sure.
I've never used them working out before, but I've had to take them off shit because people fucking leave them there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
And how about this? This is a funny one. Now we're starting to rant a little bit. Have you ever seen anyone doing – oh, this is like the worst thing to see someone do. Have you ever seen someone doing barbell curls in the rack?
Yeah, I do that every Friday. That's me.
Well, hold on. Yeah, you do that in your basement, though. But do you use 10-pound bumper plates on each?
No. I know what you're. Yeah. Because you see that shit. I fucking hate that too. It's like you stupid son of a bitch.
He'll be the like skinniest guy in the whole fucking gym.
Yeah.
And I'm like, are you trying to fucking trick us, bro?
Yeah.
Like, I know that's not a 45-pound. I just want to go over and say, hand him a 10 and be like, just use this. It's, like, easier.
They're just fucking doing that for their Instagram. Yeah, it looks like a 45, and they're curling it, you know, and
they fucking scratch out the weight on the thing on their Instagram. They conveniently put a hashtag over it.
They'll conveniently, like, flip it on backwards so you can't see what the weight is.
Exactly. Yeah. The big fucking guy's barbell curling with the big giant green wheel on there. And I'm like, but I know that's 10 pounds, bud.
That's,
I know how that works.
That's 4 kilograms.
4 kilograms for all the European folk.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Man, so doc training going okay then? I mean, I know you're recomping and you're, you said you felt strong. How are your lifts going in the gym?
Oh, pretty good. You know, my elbow's never. I think my elbow's fucked for life. It's manageable. I mean, I probably could go further with it and get it better taken care of. But that elbow that I hurt last year when I went to physical therapy and everything, it was feeling pretty good. But it's still, you know, the thing that really pisses me off is I don't feel like I can work triceps good as I should.
Yeah, I know. I remember PJ Braun's known for enormous triceps, but I remember him saying that. If you can't fully extend your elbows at the top of a tricep movement, then you're really only getting like, you know, 60% of contraction power, you know?
And I can tell.
Yeah, that freaks me out because I have the same problem that you do, man. I can't straighten out my elbows without searing pain, you know?
Yeah, it's one of those things where I got to find a workaround all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So what I've found is so anything where I can press, so close grip bench, dips, push downs and stuff like that is okay where I keep my hands neutral, but it's weird. I stopped doing them like triangle bar, regular standing tricep cable push downs. I can't do them.
Yeah.
I can do them reverse grip perfect.
Do you feel like, once you warm up enough with the triceps and the elbows, then you can kind of go into the movement like that would normally hurt you?
It gets better if I'm nice and warm, but mm-hmm. I still feel it really weird when I do. But I found the exercises that I can do. And one exercise I found, and I saw it on a video, and it was, what's his name? I forget his last name. He's known as the hypertrophy coach.
Oh gosh, no.
Joe, God, I forget his last name, but I was watching his videos, and he was with John Meadows, actually. I might have talked about this before, and he was talking about doing the exercises that align your elbows, not just do exercise. In other words, everyone's shape different, so some things aren't going to feel good to everyone. And you know, we all do the standard stuff, you know, skull crushers, mm-hmm. close grip bench dips, sure. you know, tricep pull downs, and all that stuff. Well, he was looking at John's sort of body and was showing him exercises that might be better for his elbows and actually more effective for triceps. And one of the things he did was he had him do like it was like holding a cable sort of across the front of your body. And okay. It was like a dumb arm cable pull down with no handles, just kind of grabbing the cables, you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
And stand in front of it and pull down across the front of your body.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And I guess he was just talking about sort of structurally that fit his body better. And I was like, you know what? That makes a lot of sense. So I tried that and I can do that. And that exercise gives me a great pump. I can definitely do that. So nice. Most, it's a mechanical sort of thing, certain exercises. And I can't, you know, behind the neck, like tricep presses behind the neck with a dumbbell kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Can't do them. I can't.
Yeah, those are tough for me too.
I can't go above 40 pounds anymore. I can't. I don't even bother with them.
It's the angles, man. When you got those, you know, that kind of pain in your elbows, it's all about finding the right angles to get the full contraction.
And what happens if I try to force that? Then mm-hmm. it fucks up.
Oh stuff yeah, yeah,
I,
yeah.
That I can do efficiently and effectively.
Yeah.
So I've been working around it that way, but. You know, that's the only thing that's really been bugging me still about that. And it doesn't affect my presses, you know. Yeah, I don't go real heavy on stuff anyway. I mean, I can still do pretty good chest lifts and stuff like that. But fucking triceps, man, it feels like I just can't get that fucking, you know, that soreness that I want. You know, like the swelling, the pump, and it's like, fuck.
Doc, do you ever do pullovers?
Like
dumbbell pullovers?
I try to do the PJR ones that we talked about before, and I do them. I don't do them every time, but when I do them, I do get a good feeling from that.
Yeah, you probably get really sore the next day too, right?
I do.
Yeah, yeah.
But what I found is I think my body adapts to that exercise really quickly.
Yes, that was going to be my next point. I found that exact same thing, man. You're like,
fucking. That's fucking crazy because that's exactly. Yeah. So I don't do them every time.
Right.
If I do them like every third time I do triceps, I'll be sore again. But if I do them every week for like 3 weeks in a row, by the third week, I'm not feeling them. I don't know if that's in my fucking head or
what. No, that's not in your head. This is what's happening. It's first of all, it's your body gets – your CNS becomes educated, attuned to that movement. But what really happens is that, you know, at some point – that tricep muscle that you're trying to engage, it's the smaller – of the muscles being engaged in that movement, you know what I mean? So it's like once you've gone past that point of fatiguing that tricep in that movement, your lats and your chest will take over right away. You know what I mean? So it's
I definitely noticed that. You have to be super strict with them.
Yeah, and you can't even go heavy because if you start going heavier with those, you'll for sure engage your lats and your pecs to put that pullover.
And I noticed that too when I keep it light and fucking just concentrate on the squeeze, that's when I notice
that's
it.
That's it. That's
and,
it.
And I'll be sore as shit. Like, I don't think I've done them. Did I do them last time? No, I did them like three workouts ago. So maybe I'll do them again this time. And I'll be sore as shit because I haven't did them for a while. But then if I do them again, it doesn't.
Yeah.
But that's what I do. I don't go too heavy because then it becomes just a pullover.
Yeah. No, that's the best way. I would do them like every other week or every 2 weeks and just really hammer them with the lightweight and just, you know, focus on that tricep only. You know, but yeah, you can get sore as shit from doing those. And those are a keeper for me, too, ever since, you know, elbow stuff going on.
It's fucking pain in the ass. But what's weird is the positive thing is my knees feel great recently, like I said before. And I don't know. We're old, dude.
I tweaked my fucking knee in Colorado, too, man.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know.
When you were lifting or you just were walking around and something happened?
No, I actually was training. I was actually doing some light squatting and like the I wasn't square enough, I think, with the cage, you know, and the floor, and it fucked me up, and I swayed it's too much to one side, and I felt the click in my knee and like immediate pain. I'm like, oh no, what now? I wasn't even going heavy, you know. Mm-hmm. I was leaving like one fucking plate, and yeah, now it's just like it's been giving me a little bit of trouble ever since. But it's not like I'm not worried about it. Plus, I'm on, you know, fucking 25 IUs of growth hormone. I'm wondering, you know, it's going to...
Should regenerate.
You know, rebuild that cartilage super easy, right?
Yeah. But yeah, so other than that, I've been feeling great. I mean, yeah. other than the elbows kind of flared up, but it's not like it was for sure. I mean, it was really fucking bad before. I couldn't do chest. I couldn't do shoulders. I mean, I couldn't do anything.
Mm, you know, yeah,
the pressing motions of chest and all that good stuff, as long as I warm up, you know... You do three really good warm up sets before I get into three or four before I get into the working sets. And I'm talking about, I'll go in there and warm up, like, let's say doing incline dumbbells. I'll do three sets of like 40 pounds. Then I know it's like really ready. And then once I do, and it'll be sore the first couple times. And once I'm into the workout, it doesn't even really bother me until I go do triceps and then I feel it again. So
yeah,
this is a pain in the ass to have to think about that. Like, oh, wait, if I go do this exercise, is it going to fuck up the rest of my life?
I know.
You know what I'm saying?
That's how you have to think when you're an old guy and training in the gym. You know, it's like
that's what I find myself doing when it comes to triceps. I'm like, oh, I want to really do this, but wait, is that one going to hurt worse than the other one? Maybe I should start with the other one and save them for last, because then I can get it done and fucking hurt and be out of here, you know?
Right, yeah. I know. Those are the woes of training in your 40s, right?
Yeah, when you've been doing this kind of stuff and stuff for like however long, it's inevitable.
Yeah.
But other than that, man, I feel pretty good. The elbows is, and it's not like it was. Like I said, it was fucking bad. But now it's just like, kind of like, fuck you. I'll work around it.
But everything else. I mean, you're getting good pumps in the gym and stuff, and you know.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. Feeling great. Like I said,
So what is your current diet like right now? Are you just being pretty loose with it?
No, I eat good all day. I do six meals, but then usually at night we go out to dinner, and that's what gets me. Because we want to, not because we have to.
That's the fun part. No worries.
Yeah. So I oatmeal, protein, chicken, rice. You know.
Yeah.
Throughout the day, I'm like pretty good, and then at work, the days I work, I'm always perfect because I come home and eat egg whites and go to bed. But it's just, you know, those steaks and sweet potatoes and snacks that at night after we go out to dinner that get me. Good though.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I was convinced myself it's going to help me with my workout the next day.
It should. I mean,
it totally does though.
Yeah, but of course. It should.
But other than that, you know, that's pretty good.
That's good stuff, Doc. Let's. What do you say we take a quick break, and then when we get back, we've got. Actually, I have quite a few questions to answer here. I think we went long enough to where we build up a lot of the question material here on the forum page here.
All right, sounds like a good idea.
All right.
Hey guys, Scott McNally here,
and this is VJ Peary.
You guys know us from here at the Advices Radio Network. Well, we also have another show, Bodybuilding Nerds Radio. We've got everything from supplement reviews
to shout-outs,
listener questions,
and of course, our weekly bodybuilding podcast reviews.
So check us out every Friday.
Or whenever you feel like cooking or doing your cardio or basically wasting time with us.
You can hear us at bodybuildingnerds.com.
Also on iTunes. Bodybuilding Nerds, it's time to get nerdy.
And we are back and ready to tackle some questions from the Advices Radio forum. You can go to forum.advicesradio.com and click on the sticky that says Bodybuilding and Discussion. That takes you to the page where you can get to Muscle Minds, Clinical Muscle, Blood, Sweat, and Gear, all the fun podcasts listed right there on advicesradio.com. And you can post your questions right there, completely anonymous too. You know, we're trying to phase out the whole email thing. I understand some people are don't want to be part of a board or anything, but give it a shot. You know, you might realize that it's just easier. You know, and you can remain completely anonymous. You know,
yeah, you can call yourself whatever you want.
Yeah. So we're gonna tackle these questions here, Doc. First question from the boards. Let's get to it. What's up, Docs? Loving the show, and as always, awesome info. I messaged Dr. Ogden earlier today about blood work, but I couldn't get a pic of the labs posted, so I figured out how to attach it here. Anyways, I just got my lab work back today and was happy at first. Then Then I got baffled, he said. I've been in contest prep for strongmen, so supplements are a little over TRT doses. He's got 350 tests, 350 NPP a week with Winstrol 25 milligrams a day for 2 weeks, and then bumped up to 50 milligrams a day for the last 2 weeks. So that should explain the elevated liver enzymes. He says, I still have 1 week left till competition. So blood test was done 6 weeks into an eight-week prep. Okay. I've always ran high blood counts for RBC, hemoglobin, hematocrit, and donate every 8 weeks or so. My last donation was 12 weeks ago. When I went to donate, they tested my hematocrit or hemoglobin and found it was lower end for me. I want to say that the hemoglobin was about 14%, but I'm not 100% sure. Anyways, after the donation, I felt really tired and fatigued for about 5 weeks. Wow. I assume my blood count was maybe kind of low, but I held off. I'm doing another blood count test. Fast forward last week, and I went in and did my blood test, and sure enough, my blood counts were really low again. And I noticed that the MCV and MCH. Okay. After doing some research, it looks like it's a type of anemia, maybe due to iron deficiency. For about the last 4 months, almost all the meat I eat is red meat, and I eat about a pound of red meat a day, about 4 whole eggs, and 7 cups of spinach a day. Yeah, that's interesting. So I'm a little confused on how I could be iron deficient, unless I'm lacking vitamin C or some other something I overlooked. I was wondering if it could maybe be oral Winstrol causing my body not to absorb the iron. Also, what steps should I start taking other than getting another blood test done for the next few weeks? I'm going to add on to the next part because he does have a second part. He says, just wanted to add, the only symptom I seem to have as far as anemia is lethargy and fatigue over the last 2 months or so. But I've also been working 12 to 13 hours a day, Monday through Friday. That on top of housework, blah, 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 blah. Anyways, thanks to guys again. The show is awesome. It gives you a little something to look forward to listening at work. Doc, did you get a chance to look at these blood work here?
Yeah, I looked at them when we were supposed to record on Sunday. And, you know, I'm looking at them again now. What's weird is it's coming up a little blurry on my screen, but I can make it out. So, yeah, his hemoglobin on this one is – oh, God, is that say – it is a little blurry. It's a 13.2 or something like that. Anyway, he does have a low MCV and MCH, which in the presence of – sort of a abnormal hemoglobin hematocrit, the biggest thing you'd think about would be iron deficiency anemia. Mm-hmm. There's also some other things, like genetic things like alpha thalassemia and things like that. Of course, any of the thalassemias that could mimic an iron deficiency anemia, but you would probably know that early. Cause you know, you would probably never have normal, sort of amounts. And then other things, his BUN creatinine were a little bit – well, his BUN's fine. His creatinine's a little bit high at 1.44, but that may be from just lifting and stuff like that. And then he just gives us like a free test and stuff like that. So his question is, could he be lacking iron? Basically, and he's eating an iron-rich diet, right? And he's having some symptoms of iron deficiency or anemia in general. Any kind of anemia can make you have fatigue and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So – first of all, do I think oral Winstrol? I don't know if that causes any kind of absorption problem. I know a lot of people get GERD from it, but that wouldn't get reflux and stuff and bad acid stuff. I've heard a lot of people complain of that with orals in general, but I don't think that's going to affect your absorption of iron. So one thing is, yes, maybe he is not absorbing his iron good, or he's having digestive issues, something like that. But the thing that I would be more concerned about would be, number one, his labs, he didn't get an iron level. So the first thing I would do is I would recommend you get a serum iron studies. And that's just not a serum iron. That's a serum iron, a TIBC, a percent saturation, and a ferritin level.
Because
a ferritin is our stored iron. That sometimes is the first indicator of iron deficiency, because what happens is, if you can imagine, you have these ferritin stores. If you're losing iron, and I'll get there in a second, if you're losing iron for whatever reason, you're not eating it, you're not absorbing it, you know, whatever, you're a vegan and you're not getting enough, your body will start to pull from the ferritin levels to keep the serum iron level within a quote normal range. So you could have a normal serum iron and be like, okay, I'm not iron deficient. but a really low ferritin. And what happens is once you get rid of those ferritin stores, then your serum iron drops. Then you become anemic. Your MCV drops, your hematocrit drops, and you get what's called a microcytic anemia. Now, with him eating five cups of, a ton of spinach, which I think a lot of bodybuilders eating tons of red meat, you would think there's no way. But and this is probably the one thing of everything he told me that I think he should get done. He needs to look for occult blood loss.
Yeah. Wow. Good call, Doc. Yeah.
Yeah. So whenever you see iron deficiency anemia in the face of a healthy patient who appears to be nutritionally sufficient in iron, you need to worry about bleeding from your colon and bleeding you may not see. So I would first get the iron studies, repeat his hemoglobin, hematocrit, all his micro indices, and then I would do a digital rectal exam on him and check him for hemoccult blood. And if that comes up positive, he needs a colonoscopy.
Good call.
That's all I could come up with from this, as far as the iron goes.
Yeah. That's
honestly where I would go in my office. I don't think it's the supplementation.
No.
I don't think it's he could be tired from work and shit. That's definitely a problem, but it worries me that he does have these sort of little indicators that something's losing somewhere and there's not a good reason. And the first thing with anyone is, and I believe this guy may be in my age group, maybe 40, maybe 30, late 30s or mid 40s. I forget because I know exactly, but I can't remember, but I'm pretty sure he is. So I would definitely make sure that you're not having any occult blood loss. Because that definitely, cause you're losing blood all the time. So just like females who lose menstrual blood every month, if they have heavy periods and don't get checked and don't know it, a lot of girls need iron supplementation, because they're losing blood all the time, so they can get anemic quick. With same thing here is I could be going out on a limb here, but that's where I would worry, because it doesn't sound like he's not getting enough iron. Yeah. And then if that's all checked out, you know what? Keep an eye on your hemoglobin, your MCV and stuff like that. You know what? It goes up and down, and it could be just because you gave blood and it's not like terribly super low. But definitely when you see a trend like that, that's what you want to make sure you're not having some kind of disguised bleeding somewhere. Yeah. And it happens all the time. That's how we find people with, internal hemorrhoids and diverticulitis and, God forbid, colon polyps and God forbid, even MERS, cancer, So I don't want to be – but that's where I would go.
Yeah, you got to rule this stuff out, Mm-hmm. So, I hear you. I would check. Yeah, I can't really add anything more to that, Doc, other than the fact that he says that he's been trying to build his micronutrition. So I don't know. I mean, there's several factors that could potentially stop you from absorbing iron that are dietary deficiencies, right?
Yeah.
So I mean, any lack of of your essential vitamins can decrease any absorption of ferritin or just blood iron at all. So as long as all that's up to par and you're taking a good multi-mineral, multi-vitamin a day, a good like a Beverly Super Pack or something like along those lines or something. Then yeah, I think the only other option is to do what the doc says. Yeah.
I got to get iron studies to even see if it's really low. And if that all comes back normal, as long as your hemoglobin stays where it's at, I wouldn't even worry about it. And as long as you're not losing blood anywhere,
it's easy
to do. The blood loss thing is easy. Easy. Everyone hates a finger up their butt, but that's how you do it. It's really easy.
You got a finger in your butt. You take a poo in a jar, and that's it.
It is what it is. It's not that. Yeah.
Send it off to the labs. Here's my poo. Is there blood in it? Yep. Next question from the board. Docs, can you discuss the potential benefits of using an ARB, such as Telmisartan?
Telmisartan. Mycartis is the brand name.
Mycartis, gotcha. Along with AAS. So I don't even know what an ARB is, Doc. What's an ARB?
I got you. So I always talk about lisinopril as a blood pressure medicine that I love. Mm-hmm. And in the past, I've also mentioned lisinopril is an angiotensin-converting enzyme inhibitor, right?
Yep.
So a lot of us know what that is, and you could easily read about that. Well, the second class that came out as sort of an offspring, which is a newer class, and I'm putting newer in air quotes because they're not that new anymore.
Okay.
You know, it's been around as long as I've been a doctor pretty much. So is the ARBs, and they came out with them because they have less, quote, side effects. And the big side effects they have less of is that ACE cough that people can get. And that's pretty much – and they have a less chance of angioedema, which people can get on lisinopril and ACE inhibitors. And there's still a chance for ARD. So they are angiotensin receptor blockers.
Gotcha.
So they actually block the angiotensin receptor, not sort of an enzyme sort of thing like the ACEs. But they do pretty much the same thing.
Gotcha.
As far as blood pressure control. Now, so if you listen to the shows in the past, you hear me tout lisinopril, the drug of for me. I go to that for most people. It's a great drug. It has cardioprotective effects, lowers blood pressure, wonderful. Pretty much low side effects. You have those couple common ones. Renal protective effects, especially with diabetics. ARBs have all of that. And I've said if you you can afford or your doctor prescribes you either or, that's good. Most of the ARBs, including Mycardis, which is telmisartan and vandesartan and calsartan, all these sartans, most of them are more expensive. And if you have health insurance like I do, most insurances will put that as a tier two, maybe even a tier three. So if they could be pricey, unless, you know, but I'm not speaking for all of them. So that's the reason why I always went with the lisinopril first, because it had most of the benefits, worked great for blood pressure for most part, and renal protective, had some cardioprotective effects, especially for people with left ventricular sort of systolic dysfunction, people with heart failure.
Yeah.
That's why we start them on an ACE inhibitor as soon as their EF is low. Long story short, I'm rambling here.
Mm-hmm.
All diabetics, if you're diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, mostly all diabetics should be on at least a low dose of either of these drugs. But I didn't do the ARBs off first line because they got dinged. Like, I would get a call back. Yeah, this copay is $70. I'm not paying for that. My insurance ain't covering it.
So
lisinopril is dirt cheap over the counter without insurance. You can go in Walmart and get it for $4 for a 30-day supply.
Nice.
And so that was my real reasoning for loving that so much. That's one of my real reasons, because in my position, I can't just go, ooh, this study showed this drug is great for this. And yep, I'd love to, but the drug costs me $1,000 a month, doc. I ain't doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So back to the question. And what is specific about telmisartan, which is Mycardis? It has had – so it's been studied a lot, and one of the benefits or sort of reported benefits in some of the studies is that, one, it can help with preventing left ventricular hypertrophy, sort of left ventricular remodeling. And in a bodybuilding world, we all know that probably all of us who've ever lifted heavy weights, if you get an echocardiogram, you're going to have a probably mildly or even maybe more than mildly thickened left ventricle,
mm-hmm.
which – you know, you would think, well, if I take this drug, maybe that won't happen. So that could be a potential benefit. I'm just going through things. The other thing that's interesting about telmisartan is, which different than that, it has some metabolic effects, sort of like cardarine.
Hmm. Interesting.
It's a PPAR agonist.
No shit. Do you know, is it PPAR alpha agonist? Or because delta. Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. It's similar action to that. it helps with insulin sensitivity. It helps with lipids. It's shown, and these are all studies. Like, I'm not saying I never treat people based on one or a couple studies, but these are all the things that's makes this interesting to some people. And it may help with bodybuilders because of those things. It's shown to reduce some visceral fat, maybe in some studies.
Mm-hmm.
It even may be helpful in NASH, which is non-alcoholic steatotic liver disease.
Nice.
So, fatty liver, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and that's all because it has this other sort of mechanism with the PPAR receptor and some of the other things. So it does make it interesting as a first line drug if you were able to get it as a bodybuilder, because it may have some of these other protective effects. Really, I should say the same protective. ACE inhibitors are cardioprotective and renal protective. So are ARBs. But this one particularly has those other properties due to that PPAR and some other sort of inner properties of this drug only that makes it very interesting. So if you were a bodybuilder and your doctor wanted to put you on a medicine, I would say if you can't afford anything, or if you're like a fancy guy and you got lots of money, I might ask for this drug and be like, look, if you're going to put me on something, put me on this, because it has these other effects too, which are very positive. But for the most part, our goal is, with bodybuilders, especially enhanced people, especially when you're doing, you know, things super physiologically, you want to keep your blood pressure low, because that's where all the madness is going to happen. Maybe not from it protecting. It may not give you reduced mortality rates from cardiovascular disease with lisinopril and stuff like that. But if you keep your blood pressure at 120 over 80, all that bad stuff shouldn't happen anyway.
Right.
So, but it is interesting in the fact that if you could get it, it has these other sort of positive potential effects that could help, like, a bodybuilder and anybody, really, to be honest. It's especially, you know, diabetes with the insulin sensitivity. It helps with insulin resistance, you know, and all that stuff.
Interesting.
But,
yeah.
But most people, unless you're buying it, I don't know, online, and who knows what you're getting if you're crazy enough to put yourself on a blood pressure medicine from a fucking underground website.
from a lab in India.
I can tell you that I'm gonna look this up real fast. How much a 30-day supply of legit telmisartan would be if you got it from your doctor and you didn't have insurance?
Oh boy.
Let me go back here.
Using your handy dandy app that shows you
my handy dandy pricing app for drugs, which I save people money with.
Yeah, that's fucking great.
I hear a lot of people talk about, yeah, my doctor put me on this. Sometimes it comes back to how much you can, you know, unfortunately. So according to this, 20 milligrams of 30 tablets is $213, as opposed to lisinopril, which will really help your blood pressure, protect you. It doesn't have those potential other good stuff, though, is like $4 at Walmart.
Yeah.
So if you're getting this off a website for $4, you better check what you're getting.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So anyway, the other thing is, and I've seen this recently, I saw a list of supplements, and I'm quoting supplements someone posted. And first of all, they had like 3,000 health supplements on their list. I couldn't even remember to take all that. Each one was for a different reason, a different protective reason. And incorporated on that, they also had like metformin and telmisartan. I really am not a strong – okay, you could take all the over-the-counter stuff you want and whatever you want to do. But I don't think because of these – so this is what I think is I'm reading a lot of. I think a lot of people want to jump on this medicine for these sort of bodybuilding enhancement purposes.
Interesting. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Not for the protective effects and for the blood, because they think it's going to help them lose more weight. It's going to help them with insulin sensitivity. You know, so
yeah.
I would not put myself on a blood pressure medicine for those reasons.
No, that's just
solely for that. Like, I wouldn't turn this into a, like, a lot of people take Cialis every day for its, you know, blood pressure health and things like that. So I'm not a big fan of taking these kind of drugs for like sort of vanity purposes. Like,
Yeah, for sure.
It helps with my insulin sensitivity. It's going to help me lose weight. It's going to help me have less fat because it helps with my carbs and all that. It can lower your blood pressure quickly, and it does a good job at that. And if you're someone who's walking around at 110 and you start yourself on 40 of myocarditis because you want to be more insulin sensitive, you want to have all these other potential protective effects from left ventricular hypertrophy, I would say don't do that.
So, I mean, the takeaway is that the major, like the probably like the greatest benefit, obviously, of an ARB like telmisartan is going to be, you know, for blood pressure. You know, nobody's going to a doctor being like, hey, I've got diabetic. I'm a diabetic. I've got insulin insensitivity. I'm resistant. He's not going to be like, oh, I'll put you on a fucking telmisartan. Let's just do that. You know what I mean? That's not what he's treating you for. So look at your major symptom. You know, obviously this is for blood pressure. Now, if you're a bodybuilder and you've got, you know, potential blood pressure issues, a fucking ACE inhibitor, absolutely. You're not gonna get any of the positive benefits from an ARB from that. You know, like the fat loss and all that stuff. That stuff is minuscule in regards to, you know, the effects that it's gonna have on you. You know what I mean? So if the major goal is to bring down blood pressure, why wouldn't you do that with something that's tried and true, proven, dirt cheap, you know?
And that's my issue with it. I'm not one to say, oh, this is a wonder drug and jump on it. So because I have other things I have to look at as a doctor. One of them is cost. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, if you have hypertension and you're a bodybuilder and you have good insurance or you're independently wealthy and you have a doctor who once put you on blood pressure, you may want to talk to them about that.
Sure.
And if they say, you know, if it's too expensive, then lisinopril is going to do a great job for what we needed to do, which is keep your blood pressure down, protect your kidneys, protect your heart, try to keep you from, you know, having a stroke and all that good stuff. But yeah, it's a great drug. So that's kind of, I don't know if that's what he was leading towards, but that's all I know. That's what I got in my brain about that.
Yeah. I think his main thing was that, you know, he's looking at like ACE inhibitors and things like that. And he said that, you know, although they lower blood pressure, they don't show cardioprotective benefits, you know.
Right. But, and they actually do, but it's a different type of
cardioprotective. Right. Yeah.
They don't help with protecting against what we call left ventricular hypertrophy. At least it hasn't been reported that I saw. Mm. But what they do have cardioprotective effects in people with systolic dysfunction. In fact, by blocking that, you reduce, and that's why we put people as soon as they're diagnosed with bad heart failure, like an ejection fraction of less than 30% or around there, that's dilated cardiomyopathy, that's systolic heart failure usually, we put them on ACE inhibitors and beta blockers, because by blocking the ACE system and the beta blocker, you reduce cardiac remodeling by blocking those receptor sites. So they do have protective effects, mm-hmm. but not specifically left ventricular hypertrophy, which is what I think he's – and then, of course – all this other stuff I'm hearing about these other potential effects makes it very attractive for someone to want to jump on this like it's berberine.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, and it's not, and they still have a lot of side effects. And if you're someone who's taken all these different things and herbs and, you know, Hawthorne and whatever, all a list of 75,000 health supplements, and you're throwing these prescription drugs on top of it because you want the fat burning effects or insulin sensitivity, whatever you want to call it. Look, you're increasing your risk of hyperkalemia. And if you're not getting your blood work done and you're walking around with a potassium of 7, you're going to have a heart attack or 6 even.
Mm-hmm.
And what's ironic is ACEs and ARBs are, quote, renal protective. However, they can raise your creatinine, which is kind of counterintuitive. So if you're walking around with a borderline high creatinine and you add one of these drugs on there and it increases your creatinine more, then now you may be stressing your kidney. So it's kind of you just got to be careful. You can't – this isn't something everyone should just go out and take because it sounds good.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Now, if you have hypertension, you can afford it and you're getting it from your doctor, maybe a good choice. But so would lisinopril for that only purpose.
Right, for that blood – just for blood pressure. Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah.
Can't go. Yeah,
nope.
That's pretty much where you summed it up for me, because I do get long winded sometimes. But
that's all important shit to hear. And I don't even know what the fucking ARB was. So I'm glad that you broke it down like you did. So that's good.
Yep.
Next question from the boards. Hey guys, thoughts on Diet Coke?
Sometimes I know a little bit about stuff.
You know lots about everything. This guy wants to know about Diet Coke slash
McDonald's at night now. By the way,
Thank you. So you're going, you're having your nighttime supper with your family, and then
every once in a while, I'm not saying it's happening 3 days a week, but it might be. I'm going into the Veg Zone with the double quarter pounder. Here.
My man, I like it. This guy's got a question about Diet Coke. He says thoughts on Diet Coke / Pepsi Max during a rebounding phase. He says just coming off a diet and slowly want to add calories and gain slowly, without getting sloppy and becoming a water buffalo. However, hunger is through the fucking roof, but with Diet Coke, I can keep it in check without it. It gets much harder. Recently, I've been drinking around 1 liter of Diet Coke a day. Is that reasonable or reduce? Thanks, docs. Keep it up.
Oh, what's a liter?
1 liter? It's like a half a 2 liter. You know what 2 liters look like, right?
Yeah, how many 20 ounces is that?
Oh,
I'm terrible with math. You know what I mean? So
all I know is that it's a half a 2 liter. So that's fucking nothing.
Okay, yeah. That's what I was trying to figure out, yeah. Because I drink probably way more Diet
Coke. Oh, yeah, dude, way more. Okay, so I'm going to take the wheel on this one here, Doc.
Yeah, go ahead, because this is up your alley, too. And there's another one on here. I believe the next question is probably more, you know, something you would be able to answer better than me.
Well, I'll throw like an ARB question into the next question, too.
Yeah, no, I won't even know how to do that. Go ahead.
So First of all, I think diet pop, diet sodas, I think all of them are great. I think all like the calorie free sweeteners, all I think they're all great. The problem is everyone's so goddamn different. Everyone's real sensitive, or not sensitive at all. I can drink diet pop all fucking day, no problem. Look great the next day. Someone else might be drinking, you know, Diet Pepsi all day and then look terrible the next day. Sometimes things like aspartame can honestly, I've seen it less with aspartame than I have with like Splenda, you know?
I know where you're going.
Splenda, yeah. And sugar alcohols, I've seen that bloat people out. I've seen them hold water from it. I've not really seen it a whole lot from aspartame on its own. And shit, aspartame's been around for fucking ever. That's the only thing you got to look for. I mean, you know, how do you look the next day? You know, is it are you holding more water because of it? Usually, I mean, for the most part, you know, diet pop, Pepsi, diet Coke, they're all going to be more diuretic than anything else. You know,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I mean, for, you know, that shouldn't help you hold any water. You know, I don't have a problem with it. You know, as long as you have to take a look at yourself in the morning after you're going drink, have a day where you drink like 2 liters minimum, you know, Pepsi Max or Diet Coke or something, and then see how you look the morning after. You know, if you look like you're holding more water, you've got a little bit extra sogginess in the lower belly, you know, subcutaneous, you know, a little more jiggly, then yeah, you know, your body's not responding well to that at all. You know, that's just a you know, body-wide inflammation. And I've seen that happen with people that drink a lot of Splenda, like loaded coffee or Splenda loaded drinks, you know. And
yeah,
I've seen it hands down almost every time with stuff like Walden's Farms and shit like that with sugar alcohols. Man, people don't get along with sugar alcohols at all. Not only that, they'll get super farty and gassy too, you know.
I've heard that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's real common, real common.
I know. And the other thing I've heard with diet soda, and I've never found it, was, and if you do find this being you, then maybe you need to take a look. I've heard some, quote, coaches and people like that who don't like their – I was going to say patients – who don't like their clients to use diet soda during a diet phase or whatever, mm-hmm. is because some people may be like it trigger their sweet tooth.
Sure, yeah, yeah.
I've never had that happen to me. Mm-hmm. For me, if I'm dieting really hard and I have a diet Mountain Dew or diet Coke, or diet root beer or diet orange, that actually helps my sweet tooth.
Absolutely. It does the opposite of that shit. So anyone that ever says that, I always look at them like cross-eyed. I'm like, are you sure about that? I've never witnessed that myself. Diet pops have only ever helped people with their sugar cravings, you know, or it didn't help them at all with their sugar cravings, you know. So it's
exactly.
Like, so it's going to be a win-win, really. You got something delicious, you know, on a fucking low calorie diet. That's good stuff. I think, I mean, Palumbo was a big fan of Diet Pepsi and Diet Cokes when he was dieting too. And he was the fucking most shredded guy on earth. You know?
Yeah, exactly. And so that was the one thing. And so, yeah, I've never had a problem. And I think The other thing is like consistency. If it's something that's in your diet and it's always in your diet at the same level, for me, it always feels like that will like cancel itself out. It's if you don't have it in your diet for six weeks and you pound 2 liters of Diet Coke one day, maybe you'll notice a big difference. Yeah. But if it's always in there, but that's the one thing I've never noticed it with any issue. And it's never sort of triggered a sweet tooth for me where I want to go cheat because I drank a diet, you know, root beer. And it, like I said, so that other than that, I got nothing to add.
Yeah, yeah. I go for it, man. It's good stuff. But you know,
yeah, because who can drink plain water all day? I give people a lot of respect. I can't do it.
I'm not a fan, dude. I don't even do that.
I said that before. I try it, and if I strictly drink water, and I've done it before, I get heartburn. I can't explain it. I've said this a million times, but you know, if I put a little Crystal Light in there, a little Mio, or have a Coke Zero or whatever, I don't get that, but. And that fucking plain water, I couldn't do a gallon of plain water and nothing else all day. I think that would drive me crazy.
Yeah.
I'm a pussy, maybe. I don't know.
I don't know. I'm with you, man. It seems like the more water I drink, the more I just hold anyways. And then, you know, that doesn't help me. But with Diet Pop, at least I'm pissing it out a little bit, you know? So, I don't know. I'm a fan of Diet Pop. Big fan. So, maybe I'm biased. I don't know.
Right, exactly.
Next question here from the boards. Hey, guys, I'm sure it's been asked a million times, but I couldn't find anything with a search. Can you use MK677 for fat loss? I'm 52 on TRT 300 milligrams test every week. I'm 6 foot, 235, 17% body fat per DEXA scan. He says, I train 4 to 5 days a week following a mountain dog program diet. Is mostly keto, 1,900 kilocalories a day, or sorry, 1,900 calories a day, with weekly refeeds. I have MK on hand, 12.5 milligrams caps. To use or not to use? That's the question.
Go ahead.
You go first, Doc. What are your thoughts?
Well, I was just going to say you're probably going to do a better job at this one. First of all, it's not a prescribable medicine, so it's really not one of them things I can say to use or not to use. I can't, but you know what? People do their own thing. You do what you do. But I'm not a huge MK677 expert, nor am I the study expert, meaning I don't know any studies off the top of my head, like maybe Dr. Stevenson would, about MK677 and specifically fat loss. But using my just sort of deductive reasoning, you know, MK is going to increase your growth hormone output. Growth hormone has some, you know, metabolic properties. It helps help with fat loss. I would say that it probably wouldn't hurt. The only issue is some people really bloat from it. So you may not know if you may think you're gaining weight from it or not. Mm-hmm. But I'm not an expert on MK, but I would say I don't see why. I don't know if this has been studied. I don't know if it's in the literature. But using sort of reasoning, I would say that anything that would help raise your growth hormone level is going to help with your fat loss.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say so too. Problem is the guy is 52 years old. What kind of production is he capable of?
That's a good point. Yeah, that might not do much at all, but so, I didn't pick up on that.
Yeah, so MK677 is great for a certain age group.
Great point.
You know, when you start waning in your growth hormone production, I would say in your 30s or so. That's kind of probably when it starts. Actually, probably even late 20s is when it starts to kind of wean on you. I could say give it a shot. You might be a really good responder. You know, you might have, you know, some really good reserves in your anterior pituitary. I don't know. You have to give it a shot and see. A good thing to do might be to, you know, get some blood work done and see where you're at with your IGF-1 levels and current growth hormone levels.
Yeah,
right,
because
now
it's not like you can force yourself to produce what you don't have.
Exactly.
Yeah, so that's a good point, yeah. BJ. I didn't even pay attention to his age. Yeah. But
so if he's going to, you know, you can only squeeze so much extra growth hormone from the anterior pituitary if it's not there.
Right. It's like trying to squeeze fucking orange juice from a dried up orange.
There you go. That perfect, Doc. That's that's why I have you on this show. Look, you're great with the word depiction. I like
that. But no, I didn't even pick up on his age, but that didn't cross my mind. But like I said, I'm not an MK expert. I just use deductive reasoning, sort of growth hormone. If you can get it to be increased, it's going to help you with staying lean. At 52, though, that might be a better point. It maybe won't do anything for you because you don't have enough to pump out, sort of thing.
Yeah, and you know, take it. You know, all you can do is an experiment on it. Honestly,
on your pet man.
Yes. Yeah, because it's not for human consumption, apparently. So
right.
But give it a shot and see. Doc did bring up a really good point about the water retention. If you're looking for pure fat loss, you might not like the look you get with MK677 for the first, 4 or 5 weeks, and another thing is, and this is also age dependent, but you have gaps where this MK677 can actually work too. You know, you can actually, most people have like a 2 to 3 week window where they need to take a break from it, unfortunately, because your body just gets attuned to this secretagogue coming in and squeezing out growth hormone from the anterior pituitary. An idea might be is to take bigger doses 3 times a week, MK677 has a very long half-life too, it's got like a 24-36 hour half-life. So if you only wanted to take like, say, 24-25 milligrams Monday, Wednesday, Friday, maybe give that a shot first. Rather than doing it every day. Plus, by doing it that way, you can limit any of the insulin resistance that is actually pretty commonly attributed to MK677. A lot of people get really resistant, insulin resistant, and that's sometimes where some of the water retention comes from also, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So I don't know, man. Give it a shot and go from there. Keep us posted. Let us know. Let us know what you would, what you decide and how it works out for you. You know.
Yep.
Yeah. Next question here from the boards. Dear Docs, I'm 48 years old and have body have been. Have you? Can you hear my pug? By the way, Doc.
I heard. I just sounded like someone was hitting your microphone.
He won't stop snoring. I keep moving, shifting his body, and he just
is that what that is?
He just won't stop snoring. But and he's sitting right behind me.
I saw that picture this morning. Looked like his eyes were fucking rolled in his head.
That's what he does. He's so crazy. He just lays on his back, snores uncontrollably loud, and then his eyes. His huge eyeballs are like doing like REM stuff, you know?
Yeah, like fucking twitching and shit.
Yeah. It's crazy. But if you hear that, if you hear that sound, it's my pug. He won't stop snoring. So.
Oh man, I know what the snoring's like. Yeah. Fucking Rascal, the big white one.
Yeah. You're
boxer. Did I tell you about the story about him, about the shit and the blood everywhere? I think I texted you guys.
You
I was like,
did. How's he doing?
Dude, I don't know. This just goes to prove that like animals are animals, and like, how do they survive in the wild? Because I was like, well, did he eat something?
Yeah.
We came home, and there was like a massive explosion on the floor in the kitchen. Thank God it's not carpet. And I looked at it, and I'm like, that looks like it has blood in it. So I cleaned it up, and he was like freaking out. I got him out back. And he starts squirting again, and literally bright red fucking like a faucet of blood out his asshole twice. So immediately we panicked. And I was thinking, okay, he's 9 years old. What could this be? Colon cancer? Well, we're not going to fix that. Gastroenteritis, irritable, you know, like a colitis type thing. So long story short is – so but he was acting fine, but he fucking squirted fucking blood out of his asshole, you know?
Oh, like, man, scary.
Never got sick, never looked uncomfortable, didn't look weak, was happy, peppy, and everything. So long story short is we put him on. We have some prescription dog food for bowel problems that we keep on hand because one of our dogs likes to puke a lot for no fucking reason. And when she goes a couple days and she's puking, we use this food and it calms things down. So we're like, let's put him on the rice and meat. Like, you know how they say, give him rice and stuff to settle, just rice to settle their back. So we kept him NPO for 24 hours, which means nothing by mouth. We let him drink water. He never acted sick, never didn't shit blood again. Boom, boom, went to bed, took him out the next morning and he had a little bit of poop and it was sort of a squishy little one and had a little bit of blood in it, still acting fine. Long story short is, I don't know what the fuck that was, but he's back to pooping normal. Completely fine. I don't know if he ate something that irritated his bowel, if he's got colitis, if he had an infection. But, dude, that was – I thought the dude was, like, definitely going to have to go to the hospital and die and, like, put to sleep or something.
Aww.
But he's back to the cell. You remind me of the snoring. So what I was getting to is that motherfucker gets locked in a room at night with Stevie because he snores like a fucking freight train. Same thing as your dog.
Oh, it's so funny. All the smush face breeds are so funny. I love
them. Dude, sometimes he'll snore just if I start even – if I even get close to a clue in his airway, like rubbing under his chin. He'll take a breath. He can't even – when he puts his head down, he'll like choke on his own – you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know.
He's so fat, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, man. Fucking dog. Anyway, he's fine. I never told you guys about that. I don't know what the hell.
I'm glad it worked out, man. That's scary.
That's been like 2 weeks ago, and he's been pooping completely normal again, so I don't know. It's fucking weird. When they get old, shit can happen, you know?
So did you look at his butthole, see if there's any hemorrhoid or anything?
I totally did, actually. Yeah. I was looking for a fissure.
Yeah, well, something.
Like he was maybe constipated and he just tore something.
Yeah.
You know, like a little vessel that healed itself over.
Well, you got to think, and this is for our clinical muscle audience also, whenever you have fresh blood coming out of your butt, usually it's got to be a colitis or a hemorrhoid or something superficial enough. Otherwise, you know, the further into the alimentary tract you go, you know, the blacker the blood actually appears when you do shit it out. So fresh blood is usually a better sign, I think.
Exactly, yeah. Unless it's, you know, but then so the way you differentiate that in anatomy in medical school, and you guys can look this and that piece up if you care, is there's something called the ligament of Treitz, which is right outside the kind of stomach area. Anything above that, when you shit blood, it's going to be melanotic, meaning black. You know, you're going, and that means probably a stomach upper GI bleed, stomach, early small intestines, things like that. Anything below that landmark is probably colonic if it's red blood. So it's either, you know, colon, sigmoid, anus, or rectum. And if it's bright red blood, it's probably either a diverticuli that popped, a colon cancer that's bleeding, or a polyp or something like that. There's some other things like AVMs, arterial venous malformations, a lot of old people can get that cause bright red rectal bleeding. But, you know, in a dog, I don't know about all that. All I could think about was either he's ate a razor blade and it's ripping his ass
off, Jesus.
Or he has colon cancer. And I'm like, do dogs get colon cancer? I mean, I guess they could.
They do. I know they do.
Yeah, I guess they could. But anyway, he's back to normal.
Man, I'm glad. That's shit. Some scary shit, man.
He's like, I'm going to squirt this fucking 6 ounces of blood out of my asshole, and then I'm just going to go back to business.
I'm glad he's okay. It's disgusting, but I'm glad he's okay.
I didn't want to have to spend $3,000 to operate on his colon, you know what I'm saying?
I know. That's a terrible expense. Dear Docs, I'm 48 years old. I've been bodybuilding since my teens. Lifetime natural until beginning HRT about 5 years ago. My blood pressure was always borderline high around 130 over 90s. A few months back, I began medication and now it's good around 120 over 70. Yeah, pretty good. After asking a bunch of questions to my doctor about heart health, he sent me for an echocardiogram to ease my mind. At my follow-up visit, he informed me that I have left ventricular hypertrophy. I believe he said my output was 45, and it should be around 50 or so, whatever that means. He wants to put me on a second blood pressure medication and do another echo next year. After doing some research, I found this to be extremely common in bodybuilders. Is this something I should be concerned about or not? Is there anything I should do to improve or counteract this or any medication I should be taking or avoiding? It's funny.
It's funny. It fits right in, doesn't it? Yeah. It fits right in, doesn't it?
This is our ARB theme this week, huh?
It is. So, yes, people who lift heavy weights, bodybuilders, can have a thickened left ventricle from sort of – what's the word I'm looking for? Remodeling. It's an adaptive process.
And honestly, you know what? He's putting too much concern on this. To be honest, bodybuilders, yes, they train. If anyone who trains hard is going to have left ventricular hypertrophy, not just bodybuilders. I'm talking about Olympic athletes, skaters, runners, cyclists, all those people. You know, long distance runners, especially. Mm-hmm. You know, and they look like shit. You know, but they've got left ventricular hypertrophy. Right.
So. And I think one of the things that about this type of left ventricular hypertrophy, usually that's what it is if you were to stop, become a fat ass and do nothing, that probably would change itself. It would kind of take away the stimulus and it would go sort of thin itself out and go back to normal. But
like untrained muscle,
exactly what it does. Yeah. So in your case, the 120 over 70 is beautiful. I kind of agree but disagree with your doctor about your ejection fraction. 45 is still considered low end of normal. Mm-hmm. So if anyone doesn't understand what an ejection fraction is, it's basically blood in, blood out. Our heart – and if maybe everyone knows this. Maybe you don't. I mean, before I was a doctor and I didn't know this, I thought every ounce of blood that got pumped into my heart came out the other side. But it's not. It's about half that amount. So our blood only squeezes 50% of the blood in it every pump. That's called an ejection fraction. And that's normal. And actually, a high ejection fraction like 60, 70, if you're getting those numbers, that's actually just as bad as a super low ejection fraction. 45 to 55 to me is still completely normal. So to me, and this is just my opinion, I'm not telling you not to listen to your doctor. I'm not prescribing Medicaid. To me, your heart is perfectly functioning normal still. I would just make sure that – I don't know. Did he say he got a stress test or just an echo?
Just an echo.
Okay. Yeah. So with the left ventricular hypertrophy, I mean the only other thing is I'm not sure what kind of echo he got. I would always recommend to get a stress echocardiogram, and that's the kind where they throw you on the table. And even better if it's a chemical stress echocardiogram. They put some dye in you. They take a picture of your heart pre – it's a stress test. Take a picture of your heart before the test, put some dye in you, throw you on a treadmill, work your fucking ass off as quickly as they can to make you die, and then they throw you down on your side and then, you know, take some pictures. They're usually more accurate to make sure that there's no blood vessel blockages. And a stress echo is just where they walk you on the treadmill, work your ass off, and then you can barely breathe, and they make you jump off and lay on your left side, and they put the wand on you and look at what your heart's doing when it's under stress, because you can get some abnormal wall motion abnormalities when you're stressed and your heart looks fine at rest. So anyway, I digress. But here's the point. We were just talking about ACEs and ARBs. Now, you may be the kind of guy who is getting treated for hypertension. You're a bodybuilder. If you have great insurance and or you're independently wealthy and don't care about paying $200 a month for a prescription medicine, something like Telmsartan may be great for him.
There we go. It's coming full circle over here.
Right, because it's going to help with that sort of, quote, left ventricular hypertrophy, which may or may not even be a problem. And it's going to give him those other potential added benefits that sound very promising for a bodybuilder. Other than that, bro, I mean, keep your blood pressure low and you're going to be fine.
Nice, nice. Yeah, I can't really add anything more to that, Doc. You kind of hammered it.
All this on 4 hours sleep.
That's beautiful. That see? I got a full night's sleep, and plus I did weed this morning too, so I'm not super sharp like I should be, but hey, I was up early. I was ready. I was ready.
I was
up at 5 a.m. I was like, yeah, set my alarm and everything.
I know, and when I saw your text and your fucking fat boy picture, which was great, the little guy rolling the dough or whatever it was, I felt bad because I was like, oh, I know he got up and he's probably now like, fuck you, bailed.
Oh, gosh, no. No, dude, I love waking up early. If I can wake up early.
We're always up early. It was just a matter of like,
it's not a big deal.
I knew I was going to get to bed at like 2:30. I didn't know honestly, I was crying a lot, man. I mean, it was 90. I mean, he's 90. My kids were bawling their eyes out. That's a hard thing, man. But he is 90, so you got to put that in perspective. But he's still, we're driving down. We just picked up Stevie some ice cream, and we just dropped his buddy off, and we get that call. Pop-up just died. We're like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, you know, so I wasn't sure if I'd have emotional – you'd be mentally ready for the show today. I didn't want to come out on here and be a fucking douchebag. Well, I am anyway, but whatever.
Some things we just can't help. That's just an amazing
thing. I figured, you know what? What's better than talking to a friend?
Damn right.
And getting your mind off shit and having some fun when bad things happen, right? So hopefully everybody's doesn't hate the show, but
hell no, they love to listen to all the ridiculousness.
Yeah. So anyway, we got one more.
You know what? Let's tackle this last question here because it's kind of funny. Do we really need to wash our hands after going to the bathroom, or is this just an easy way to remind us to wash our hands periodically throughout the day?
Yes.
Wash your fucking hands.
I was going to be like,
fucking disgusting people. Yes, always wash your hands if you go to the bathroom.
Here's the thing. Yes, wash your fucking hands after you go to the bathroom because a couple reasons. One, it's when you take a shit, our colon is loaded with bacteria. Yep, the good stuff that we all like, which you know, the quote gut, you know, microbiome. But there's also E. coli. Enterococcus.
There's some nasty stuff in there, man.
That can make you deathly ill, which is why girls get high rates of urinary tract infections if they wipe wrong one time, front to back. If they go back to front,
they're fucked.
If they take a poopy, they're going to get a UTI if they do that enough. Because when our stool, our bottom is loaded with not only good bacteria, but pathologic, really bad bacteria, like even VRE, which is terrible, MRSA, you know, well, maybe not MRSA, but maybe. But E. coli is the big one, right? You don't want to get that shit. You don't want that to end up in your mouth because then you get really sick.
Yeah.
So
wash your hands. That's
it's
disgusting.
Not just a way to wash your hands.
yeah. And if you're into anal and stuff, man, wash your dick when you're done.
Oh, my God.
Don't be going from hole to hole either. That's fucking gross. You know?
Yeah, and make – you know, and this goes out. We don't have any lady listeners. Maybe we do. We do have a few. Lady listeners, you should always go to bathroom directly after sex because this is kind of off topic because one of the most common reasons girls get UTIs is because they don't go to the bathroom
and clear it out. Clear it out. Yeah.
You got
yeah.
to go take a pit. You got to clear it out. Clear it out.
Yeah.
Or you could always try it out. Try it out.
Try it out. Try it out, man.
Fuck me. You want to beat me? Come on over. Try it out.
Try it out, man.
Jesus Christ.
If you're a hot black guy and you want to fuck me at $23.95, if you want to move in, you can move in, but you got to fuck me. I need to be fucked a lot, man.
I wonder if any if any boys wipe from P to A.
I guess if you have a what do they say on the size game? They say they say like an any dick. What do they call that?
Like an inverted dick.
Inverted dick. Yeah, they gave it a name because they were one of their icebreaker questions or something.
I remember.
Would you like to have a spine full of dicks?
Like a stegosaurus,
like a stegosaurus, or a dick that is in the normal place, but when it gets hard, it turns into an innie dick. And I think they all came up with their own logic, and I think Banji's was like he the innie dick because at least he could still bodybuild because
of course he would say that
you can't have dicks hanging off your back
in
bodybuilding.
Well, you can't have dicks hanging off your back. Period. That sucks. That would be terrible.
And they all get hard and they all piss and come at the same time.
I want to know the plumbing for that. I want to know how the plumbing works for something like that. Like, you've got to have, like, so many, like, urethral tubes all over.
Like a 20-foot urethra.
You've got, like, all these tubes coming off one prostate. That's a lot of semen to go through, you know?
I honestly have to admit, I love the Size Game podcast. Shout out to them. But the reason I listen is for them fucking icebreakers. I don't know what kind of sick fucks.
You're a sicko.
Yeah, I don't know what kind of sick fucks they have listening to that show, but they come up with some nasty ass shit.
I know. It's hilarious.
And it's goddamn comical, and I love to hear their responses to it.
Yeah. Yeah,
and this would be a perfect size. This would be an iceberg. Should I eat my shit or wash my hands or shit my wash? You know,
do you wipe P to A as a boy or?
Please don't send any icebreakers like that to Clinical Muscle. That we don't entertain that, but send them to the Size Game. They're good at that.
Yeah, don't wipe P to A if you're a boy. By the way, you know, don't shitty balls. You don't want shitty balls. You don't want to be that guy.
Fucking disgusting, bro.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if there's any boys that do that, but don't do that. Just try a little harder and go around back, please.
You know? Yeah. Get that shit good.
Yeah. Disgusting people. All right, Doc, that's it for this week. We do have a couple more questions that are lingering in our email box, but we're going to have to wait and hold up on those because they're pretty long and a little more in depth. Maybe we tackle those first thing next episode. What do you say?
Yeah, maybe we can you guys send in some questions to the boards. If we get a few questions quick, we'll try to knock one out. It's been a little – this last – getting this one in was a struggle just because we both had some emergencies, but we got it in today. And maybe one day when we're free, if we get a few more questions, we can just record another one for the bank for Mr. McNally.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
We're going to make time to do it. You know what I mean? Life is short. And I think Pop told us he's teaching us a lesson. You know what I mean?
Yep. You gotta move on, guys. Yeah, hug your moms, hug your dads, kiss your kids today. Shit happens unexpectedly, and you never know, man. And I just want to say rest in peace to my papa, Bob Marshall.
Absolutely. Stay healthy, and the doctors are out.
See you guys.